Today's parak in Tanakh is Yehoshua Perek Chaf Beis. So we have arrived now at the end of the period of the Hanchala. Nothing is left. Lo nafal davar, every gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to us, hakol ba, everything came. Since everything came, there is now one thing left to do. And that is, remember that the entire Nachala was built on a very interesting condition. And that condition became the model for every condition that is legal for all time, as Kol HaTorah Kula's condition refers back to one thing. Kol T'nai She'eno K'tnai V'nei Gad V'nei Ruvain, Eno T'nai. So if you make a condition that is different than the way the B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain made a T'nai, the condition is Batel, and whatever it is that you went about to do happens regardless of your condition. So, that means that when we talk about Im lo brisi yom ha'valayla chukka shamayim v'arts lo samti, and all of the conditions that we speak about in terms of Maisa Bereishis, all of the nisim that took place here, which are all in terms of t'nai hitnai ma'aseh bereishis, all of this is really patterned after Yerushat ha'aretz v'nei gad v'nei ruvein. Since you have now made the statement that hakol ba, it is now means that you fulfilled all conditions. Since you fulfilled all conditions, and they got Bnei Ruvain back in Bamidbar agreed that they would be the shock troops of the entire Kibush Haaretz. And not only that, but they added an additional clause. Until everybody settles down, we will be with them and holding their hands to be the ones to show them what it means to settle down. Remember, we're talking about 14 years. That means that children that they left behind as little kids, six-year-olds, they're now going to come back home and find them adults. Now, this is a shocking thing. And they never, the Medrash says the whole point was they were Mekayim this time. They didn't leave once. So this was an unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh, in which originally they settled down all right, but man, oh man, they left their homes for a 14-year war. It's unbelievable. During that period, the Medrash says that they became extremely close with Yehoshua. It's because of the fact that they were basically working hand in hand with all of the planning and with all of the Marines. They were the ones who were the chief of staff, so to speak. And don't forget that, of course, Yehoshua is Yosef-oriented. And we saw that the entire connection was the Chatz Shevet Menashe that was with them. They became B'nai Beito of Yehoshua. And it now came time to say a painful goodbye, not only to Yehoshua, but to all of the people whose hands they've been holding through this entire traumatic period, and to go back to their own homes. And it's interesting that their own homes, one of the things that the Pasuk makes clear, is that they had a very bad warp system of values, because they kept talking about all their money, and then, back in the beginning, they said, what are we going to do with all our money, and we want to settle down, take care of our money, and then, we'll take care of our kids, and we'll take care of our wives, and wait a minute, let's put this in the right order. So he corrected them. But that means that their idea of settling was radically changed by the Kiyum of the Tanakh. They've now basically given up on all of the things that were so important to them once upon a time, haven't seen their money, everything's basically in the bank. And Yehoshua says to them, Az yikra Yehoshua l'ra'uveni v'lagadi v'lachatzi matei menashe. He calls them in, Vayom Aleyem, Atem Shemartem et Kol Asher Tziva Etchem Moshe Eved Adonai. You've been with me hand in hand, and the fact is that you are the actual thing that remains from the day of Moshe. Because the one thing that Moshe did for this entire kibbutz, besides what he did for the 2.5 Shvatim in Eber HaYarden with Sichon Va'og, is that he gave me you. And as long as you're here, I'm in the presence of that Tanai that Moshe told you to do. And not only that, but tishmu v'koli l'chol asher tziviti etchem. You've been with me side by side and done everything that I asked you to do. Lo azavtem et achechem. You didn't leave once. Ze yamim rabim. It's been 14 years. Ad hayom hazeh. Ushmartem et mishmeret mitzvat Adonai Eloheichem. You have kept the mishmeret, not simply the strict letter of the law. The mishmeret. Because originally, Moshe Rabbeinu only asked of you 7 years. To be there for the war. He didn't ask you to be there hand in hand until everyone would be satisfactorily settled. And you offered to do that. He didn't say you could never go on a chufsha, but you didn't want to go back. So you've gone beyond. V'ata hiniach Adonai Eloheichem la'achechem kasher diber lahem. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave indeed to your brothers, as he said he would. We just said that yesterday. Hakol ba. And now it's time for you to go home. V'ata p'nu v'lochu lachem lo'alechem el eretz achuzatchem asher natam lachem Moshe eved Adonai be'ivah ha'yarden. You've kept your word to Moshe, you've kept the word to Yisrael. Now it's time for you to go home.
Why?
We'll see. Rak shimru ma'ot la'asot et ha-mitzvah ve'et ha-torah asher tzivah etchem Moshe eved Adonai. You're going to be leaving the center. We're standing here in Shiloh. And you're watching all of the Aveda and you recognize the meaning of the mitzvahs and you're going to be going far away to an area in which perhaps you won't be seeing the rest of us very often. But remember everything that was given to you by Moshe li'ahavat Adonai Eloheichem v'lalechet b'chol drachav v'lishmor mitzvotav u'ledavka bo. Exactly what Moshe said. He doesn't want much from you. Just your whole heart, your whole soul, and everything that you ever think about. That's asking nothing. U'la'avdo b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. V'yevorechem Yehoshua. And Yehoshua blessed them. I thought you just said you blessed them. Right, some other blessing. Vayishalchem, vayachut olehem. So he blessed them, and they went back to their homes. And then, after that, v'lachatzi shevet haMenashe natan Moshe baBashan. We were talking. I thought about the chatzi shevet Menashe. He said, "Azikra leYoshua leRuuveni v'lagadi v'lachatzi mate Menashe." All of a sudden, we talk once again. Alachatzi, Shevet Menashe. We're starting to talk about the history. So it was half of the Shevet Menashe Natan Moshe beBashan, ulechetzion Natan Yehoshua imachihem me'ever Yarden Yama, v'gam kishilcham Yehoshua lo aleihem vayevorachem, and also they, he was mevorach. What is that supposed to mean? So it's not only was he manchal them, but he was also mevorach. Is this the same bracha? Is it a different bracha? Well, remember, we already saw that Chatzi Shevet Menashe is indeed split into two parts because they represent the transition that holds together the two parts of Eretz Yisrael and that holds together the times of Moshe and the times of Yehoshua. So that there's a special relationship to Chatzi Shevet Menashe to this moment. Vayomer aleihem leimor, b'nechasim rabim, shuv elo aleichem, u'bimikne rav ma'od. Wow, this is exactly what they said originally to Moshe. We've got a lot of flocks. And what are we supposed to do with all of our things? You know, we need to build cities, and we need to settle. And they gave up on all of that, in a sense, in their usage. And he says to them, go back with far more than you ever had before. Bekesev, ubezahav, umenechoshet, ubezbarzel, ubezlamot, harbei ma'od, all of the shalal of these wars, which you've split. And share it. Chilku shalal oivechem imachechem. Share it with your brothers. Now this could mean share it with those who were left behind, which is the regular halacha, that even those who battle have to share it with the ones who were left in the Arim. But that would be fascinating, because the ones who were left in the Arim were originally kids. They weren't part of the Milchama at all. You're supposed to share with them. This is a machlokas rishon, and I don't understand this. Others learn, you share the shalal along, and he's talking to all of them, which is not the pashas. Talking to all, Reuven, Gad, Chatzi Shevet Menashe. And he's saying, remember, because you fought all these wars, you have also shared in all of the shalal with the rest of Bnei Yisrael, which is not the pashas of what he's saying. And so, vayashuvu vayalchu bnei Reuven bnei Gad v'chatzi shevet Menashe me'et bnei Yisrael mishiloh asher beretz Kanaan lalechet al eretz haGilad. What do you mean vayashuvu vayalchu? So there's an amazing medrash about this. The medrash says that what happened was they were very, very close with Yehoshua, and they wanted to go home. And they couldn't bring themselves. I mean, he was so close to them, he couldn't bring himself to leave them. They couldn't bring themselves to leave him. And he walked with them all the way to the Yarden. So he took the journey with them back to Eber HaYarden. When they saw Yehoshua, basically alone, a small group of people, they couldn't leave him. So they went all the way back with Yehoshua to Shiloh. So it was at that point that he gave them another bracha. It was Chazer Ubircham, and that's the Vayashuvu in which he gives them a bracha again. Yeah. Well, maybe it was a representation, whatever. And says the Medrash, that's when he was Mavorach them. The second bracha was even greater, because before, he didn't talk about the Nechasim Rabim Shuvalo Aleichem, Ubimik Nerav Ma'od. So in other words, what he realized now was that originally your relationship to your property and to the people that you've left at home was not a good one because it was warped. In these past 14 years, you have changed, and you can now go la'alechem, and in that order, appreciate your wives and your children and your property. Enjoy, mein kind. Es, is what he's saying to them. And now, indeed, you'll be able to live a life of shlemus, in which your property will be meaningful to you, in which your married lives will be meaningful to you, your families will be meaningful to you. And because of what you've done, everything has changed. And so imagine now the power of leaving Shiloh, Mishiloh Asher Eretz Kenan, Lalechet El Eretz Hagilad, El Eretz Achuzatam, Eretz Hagilad was a tough place, as the Gemara says. That was the whole Indian of the additional Arei Miklat per square mile. It's Nefishei Rotzchim, there's a lot of murderers there. It's Okuv Bidam, as the Pasuk says. And they're going to Gilad, Eretz Achuzatchem, Achuzatam, Asher Nochazuba, Piadunai Biyat Moshe. Now, what we are about to see here is one of the most astonishing stories in the entire Tanakh. It's a story in which we never again see the complete shlemus of Klal Yisrael. We never get an insight into the way people were thinking as a matter of course, living in this generation, being within this context of life of Knisa La'aretz. This is the only place where we get a sense of what it must have been to live with these people. And in that, it's one of the most moving parshas of the entire Tanakh. They come. And they are shattered because they are indeed arriving in a... It's like coming to Borough Park from Yerushalayim. It's a shattering experience. So in other words, you're leaving now the place where finally the Shechina Sheir in Yisrael. You've been dreaming about this for 54 years. And you're going to be going home now. You're going to be going to homes that you don't know, children that you don't know, and a situation in which there's no shaykhis to Avedas Hashem. Nothing's been done here. It's as raw as it was on the day that they had captured it from Sichon and Og. And so what do? Vayivnu b'nei Reuven u'b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet Menashe shom mizbeach al hayarden. Mizbeach gadol l'ma'e. They build an enormous metaphorical. It's lemar'eh. It's only there as a monument so that as they cross over the Yarden, they should remember that this is basically a mokum of Aveda, and we have to remember what it is to go to Shiloh, where we come from, who we're connected to, all of those people that we have fought side by side with for all these years. That's our lives. So they wanted to extend their space, basically.
Which side is
it? That is an amazing point. That's what Joey pointed out to me. Which side of the Yarden, as Richie asked. The mashma'ut is that they've only come up to the Gilot HaYarden, right, and they're building it on this side of the Bnei Yisrael. So that this is the crossing point, and they want to indicate that, look, it's all one land. Vayishma'u Bnei Yisrael le'mor, hinei banu v'nei ruvenu v'nei gad v'chatzi shevet ha-menashet ha-mizbeach el mul eretz kenan el Gilot HaYarden el ever Bnei Yisrael. Mashma, that they saw this as a mizbeach that was on the other side of the Yarden that would be built for them. Vayishma'u v'nei Yisrael, they hear about this, and they immediately, nobody even gives an order, the entire country gathers together to form an army to destroy B'nai Gad of B'nai Reuven. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Why? Because the halacha is that as long as Shiloh exists, you're not allowed to be makir on a bama. And for them to build a bama is outrageous. We need to wipe them out before this gets out of hand. So, Vayikalu kol adat B'nai Yisrael Shiloh la'alot aleihem la'tzava. They're going to go to war. There'll be a civil war from one extreme to another. We just talked about the warmth and the care and the brachas of Yahushua. 2 weeks later, we're talking about getting rid of them.
Does that mean they were seceding from the Union?
And worse than that, they were seceding from the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean you're setting up a mizbeach? Are you crazy? You're violating the bris with Hashem? Vayishlachu v'nei Yisrael v'nei Reuven v'nei b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet v'nashel eretz ha-gilad. They send someone very special first to negotiate. Who do they send? Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen. The very guy that is known to put up with nothing. No, I want any crap for you guys. So exactly the way that he was ready to respond with the Shevet of Shimon, they figured this is the guy who will make it absolutely clear. And so, Pinchas goes, they send one representative from each of the Shvatim, Masorah Nesiyim Imo, Nasi Achad LeBeitav L'chol Matot Yisrael, plus Pinchas, V'ish Rosh Beit Avotam Eim Al Alfei Yisrael. So they're sending now the representation of the entire country and the entire army. They come to Eretz HaGilad, to now the capital. And they speak harshly. Dibur is not Vayomru, it's Vayidabru. Dvarim Kashim Kegidim. Kol Amru Kol Adat Adonai. The entire, first time they refer to themselves as the Eda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're talking about building a Mizbeach for Eidut, and we're talking about being the Edas for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the heck are you doing? This is outrageous. It's treachery to turn against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the first day that you get there, and already you've turned your backs on God. This Mizbeach is an out and out open act of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you understand what this? Don't tell us to mind our own business. Says Pinchas. You may remember that I had some effect on that. We'll have to do it again. Is it not enough that we still haven't gotten Mechila for the Avon of Por? And as Tosus brings, every single year on the anniversary of Por is Eila to be Mekatra against Yisrael. It needed the presence of the Kever of Moshe, which was Mul Por, to be Mechaper. It's an ongoing issue. So this happened already so many years ago. And lo yitaharnu mimenu ad hayom hazeh. And because of it, 24,000 people died. Vayia negev ba'adat Adonai. Vatem tashuva hayom yachrei Adonai. And this is what you do to us? Vayia tem timredu hayom. Oh yeah, you'll say, what do you care? Oh, because today you do your merit. Umachart kol adat Yisrael yiktsof. You know what's going to happen? Did you forget when we went over the Yarden? It was what the understanding of kol Yisrael arevim zel hazeh. You want a proof? Remember what happened to Achan, as we'll tell you in a moment. Look, if you guys have a problem, you're sorry that you stayed in Evrayada, and you realize now that, look, you know, we need some kind of worship here because we're so distant from everybody else. So v'achim tmeya eretz achuzetchem. If you feel in your own eyes that you're living in a place that doesn't have the full kedush of Eretz Yisrael, please, we're happy to give you from our own territory. We'll do the whole chalukah over again. Come over to the other side of the yard. Ivrula kemel eretz achuzat Adonai, asher shachan sham mishkan Adonai, ve'yachazu b'tochenu. You want to be closer to Mishkan Shiloh? We'll give you our land. U'badunai al timrod, don't do this, to rebel against Hashem. V'otanu al timradu, and don't now make it a merit that involves us as well, b'vnot chem lachem mizbeach, mi baladei mizbeach Adonai Eloheinu, to build another mizbeach, which is at the Zman of Isra Bomais. Hello, Achan ben Zerach Ma'al. This is one guy. This was after we went over the Yarden. One guy was Maal on a Cherem, and that was a Cherem of Boser Vedan. And what happened to him? He's Maal b'Cherem al Kol Adat Yisrael Ha'Katzaf, which lost the war in Ai, which changed the whole Derech of Knesset La'aretz. 7 years we had to suffer to go ahead now, Yomim Rabim of Tsar, because of one idiot. V'u'ish Echad. He was a single guy. Lo gavab avono, you're thinking. He would drop dead for his own sin and that's enough? No. He didn't drop dead of his own sin and that's enough. It was all of us.
Why is this ma'al?
Okay, I think we'll talk later. So, what we have over here is something that is exactly a repeat of what happened with the original Tanai of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Because originally, the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven is they want to be able to stay in Eretz Yazir, Eretz Gilad, Mokom is Mokom Mikneh. They go over to Moshe and Elazar HaKohen. They go over to the Nesiim. They speak very nicely. And they say, look, you know, this land is Eretz Mikneh. And I think we ought to point out, Avadecha Mikneh, I mean, we happen to have a lot of Mikneh. It would be very, very fitting. Imatzenu chen be'inecha. Yutan et aretz hazot lavadecha, al tavirenu et hayarden. And what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu gets up, He says, you rotten, no good, disgusting people who plan to sit out a war while everybody else is going to go to work. But ten days, and you realize what you're doing? You're being mamrid all of Klal Yisrael against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. This has already happened to us before. Meraglim came back and everybody starts shaking their boots and all of a sudden they can't go in. Exactly what your no good fathers did when I sent them from Kaddish Barnea. And here they come back and that caused us to be now 40 years in the Midbar, and the only one who got away with it was Bilti Kalev. What's the whole story? Bilti Kalev ben Yifuneh Knizi v'Yoshua ben Nun, as if we're holding it already in Sefer Yoshua. And you know what happened? V'yinim b'Midbar Arbaim Shanavi, kamtem tachat avotechem, and now you became just like them, tarbut anashim chatayim, a bunch of rotten, no good sinners, and all you're doing is lispot od al charon af Hashem Yisrael, ki teshuvin mi'acharav, v'shichatem l'cholam, as you're going to destroy the whole country. Exactly what happens over here. These people are doing something. The first conclusion that we reach, they're totally destructive people, horrible people, and we go, we're threatened, and this is the end. So what do they respond here? Just as they responded there. They sit over there. They go over. I mean, they're ready to fight. Hey, hold on a minute. Come on, Moshe. We never said anything like that. Obviously, we will be the shock troops. We will help everybody. We're only asking that we be allowed to build now cities that we can hold our property in and our children in and so on. We intend to go to war. Whoever said anything about not going to war, huh? Whoever said it? Oh, says Moshe, well, why'd you say so? Okay, so then we make the Tanai, B'nai Gad, B'nai Ruvain. Based on that Tanai, we come to where we are today. And now all of a sudden, here are B'nai Yisrael accusing them of exactly the same thing. They're Tarbut Anashim Chata'im. It's clear that their intent in building this Mizbeach is ultimately to be Meired, to provide an alternative to Mishkan Shiloh. And they're going to be Matir Hakrova B'Shas Yisra HaBomais. And look, if that's the case, you're dead. This is war. So first of all, I mean, the astounding question of an entire nation instantaneously responding on this level. I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about Zora. We're talking about something that never was able to be completely mitukan anyway throughout all of the history of Yisrael, as we're going to see. Raka Bamot Lo Saro. It's the most difficult thing. It's the way, it's the equivalent of today's conservative Judaism. You want to be able to find a way, you're not bad people, you want to find a way to worship God. That is, yeah, I mean, I want to go to Shul, but it's not right. I mean, it's Kedai, no. I need to, what are you going to tell me? I can't go to Shul. That's what you're telling me. But because Mishkan Shiloh is over there, so there, now I can't daven. I can't do Avodah. Forget it. I mean, come on. It's a big deal. I'm only doing this L'Shem Shamayim, you know. Bothering you, am I? Here we have such a reaction that this is Poshet civil war. You can imagine civil war over such an issue. And the instantaneous nature of it. And the clarity of what Hakrava Babamas would mean. The understanding, the insight that they must feel there in an Eretz Tmeya. I mean, to say those words, you must feel something's wrong about where you live. The willingness to give away half of your own property to save people that they shouldn't be in a matzav in which they feel they're living in an Eretz Tmeya. This is absolutely astounding stuff. This is a darga of an awareness of an am that is simply astounding. It's everything that we wanted to see in a Yisrael come to life. This is exactly what we expected. And so, they answer in exactly the same way as we would expect an answer of such a darga. Vayanu b'nei Ruvenu b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet ha-Menashe. And they too speak strongly, just as the Vayikshu Moshe. Vayedabru et Roshe Alfei Israel, El Elohim Adonai, El Elohim Adonai, Hu Yodea, you, how could you even think such a thing? I swear to God, the Yisrael Hu Yeda, and the rest of the country is going to know about this. Im B'mered Vim B'mal B'Adonai, well, you think that this had anything to do with the Merida against the Kodesh Baruch Hu? This is some sense of rebellion or going against mitzvahs? Then Al Toshienu Ayom Hazeh, then we give up on any Siyat HaRishmaya from this day on. Wipe us out. Chas v'shalom. What are you, crazy? Livnot lanu mizbeach l'shuv mi'achrei Adonai. What, you think we would come now after 14 years of shleimus, of binyan of Eretz Yisrael, which was complete mesiras nefesh that we did for you guys, and leave with the brach of Yehoshua ringing in our ears of Ma'ashem l'kach ha'shel nima, of Ava, of Yira, And we would come here, are you insane? That we built this Lashuv, we built this V'im Lahalot Alav Olah Mincha. You'd think that we would make a Mizbeach, actually do a Chetan. V'im Lahasot Alav Zivchei Shlamin. If anything like that was true, Adonai Hu Yivakesh. Let God take vengeance. Strike us all dead. I'll tell you what's going on over here. We're worried about you guys. That's what we're worried about. You're worried about us. We're worried about you. I'll tell you what we're worried about. Because you are so insular and you are so involved in your own vision of the grandeur of your settlement in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to turn around one day and you're going to look at us and you're going to say, you guys aren't really part of us. So machar yomru b'neichem levaneinu, it's your children that will turn around to tell our children, Malachem v'adonai Elohei Yisrael, who do you guys think you are? You're not really part of the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'haraya, you didn't take an achel in Eretz Yisrael. After all, gvul, natan Adonai b'neinu v'neichem. There's a reason why God put that yardei between the two of us, to keep you guys out of here. And therefore the b'nei God, then b'neichem, b'nei Ruvain, b'nei God, the yardein, and that's why you're kept there. Stay out of trouble and to not bother us. And you know what the result of that will be? This is an astounding pasuk also. You know what the result of that will be? Result of your children saying that will be that our children will no longer have Yirat Shamayim. How does that follow? They will stop them from having Yirat Shamayim. So even though they're an entire Shevet, Tushvat, massive population, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, for God's sake. And what? So people talk, so who cares? So in other words, the rejection of the Am indeed is a positive force to prevent a person from being able to be Yorei Hashem. If I am rejected by the body of Klal Yisrael, so then Ishbitu. It's just not going to happen. If you guys end up rejecting us, our children are going to end up not being part of the bris. That we can't have. V'nomer, so we said to ourselves, look, we've got to do something to make it clear that we are part of these guys, and no one will ever deny it. So na'aseh lanu livnot et ha'mizbeach lo lava lo lezavach. We're not interested in chas v'shalom bringing karbonos. We're interested in a monument. It is meant to be a monument as a witness, testimony. That we need to go to Shiloh or wherever the Beit HaMikdash will be, and never to come to a point in time in which we never want to hear those words from your children. If anybody ever says something like that, we say to them, you see this monument? That was made after we slaved away for 14 years, seeing to it that you people should have your nachala in Eretz Yisrael. V'amarnu re'u et tavnit mizbach Adonai asher asu avoteinu lo lo'olah v'lo lezevach ki edu b'neinu u'b'neichem v'chalila lanu mimenu. And this accusation, the outrageous accusation, you think we need your accusation in order to make this clear? It would be chulin lanu to do such a thing. We would never even dream of using a mizbeach to be meireid. You guys are crazy. You think that we ever had it in mind, and now you have to come and threaten us with a civil war, and that's the only thing that's going to keep us on the straight and narrow, and if you wouldn't threaten us, we wouldn't know what we're doing. We're worried about you. That's what we're worried about. Any mizbeach other than the one that's in Shiloh or wherever it will be, that's the only place where we're going to be going to bring you companies. And so they indeed accepted, exactly as Moshe needed to accept the words of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven originally, and it was as Bnei God and Bnei Reuven had said, Yisrael hu yeda. Yisrael will know. And now it was their job to see to it that Yisrael will know. Today we know as a nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. What you have done is saved us both by making it clear that we should not war against you. Saved us by making clear that we should not be chayshed you when there's no basis for the chashad. And saved us by making certain that indeed there will never be a time that we should come to reject you. And therefore your arguments are solid, valid, and if there's anyone who can testify to it, it is I, Pinchas. And indeed, as the Gemara says, his going back, Vayoshev Pinchas ben Elazar Kohen, Vanisiim, Me'ipenei Ruvain, Me'ipenei God, they came back from the Ne'ruvain, Me'ipenei God, Me'eretz HaGilad, El Eretz Kanan, El B'nei Yisrael, they went back to Eretz Kanan, to B'nei Yisrael, Vayashivu Atam Davar, explained everything that happened, Vayitava Davar B'nei Yisrael. The entire nation accepted this, because it came from Pinchas, and therefore, as the Gemara says, Pinchas was Mashtin Shalom Bein Hashvatim. In doing this, he created, and that was Bris Shalom, that was given to Pinchas in the United States, Bris Shalom. According to one man Dharma in the Gemara, it was only at this moment that Pinchas became a Kohen. Because Lamaisa, he already had existed as a separate individual when the Kohuna was given to Aaron, and therefore he wasn't included in the original giving of the Kohuna. So one man Dharma also was Lamaisa of Zimri that made him a Kohen. The other man Dharma says, no, it was Shishkin Shalom Ben Ashwatim, the Bris Shalom, is the Bris Kuna Asayla. So until he actually was Mashkin Shalom, he wasn't even a Kohen. So it was at this moment, according to that Mandi Omer, that he became a Kohen. And this was the Hashchanat Shalom in the entire Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. V'lo amru la lot aleyem l'tzava l'shachet at ha'aretz asher b'nei Ruvein v'nei Gad yoshvim ba. You see, the original plan was war to the end. The total war. L'shachet at ha'aretz, wipe it out. And then, because of that, they were made it to Hashem. That for, well, Medrash says one of the things they need to be made about was that he gave them the seifa to send Pinchas and the representatives. What they could have done is come up with the army, and God only knows what happened. Shoot first, ask questions later. Exactly. So that Baruch Hashem, they were saved from a civil war. And Vayikru v'nei Ruvein v'nei Gad l'mizbeach, ki aid, they called, apparently the word is missing here, they called it aid, is what it should say. This is what Farshim point out. Ki aidu beinotenu, ki adunoi Elohim. This Mizbeach stands as the monument, as testimony to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Lord. Yes? Exactly. You'll notice that Yahushua has nothing to do with this. Nothing. And the reason is clear. It has nothing to do with this because he has absolutely no chashash. It's everybody else who's upset about this. Because he was the one who was close to them. He knew their minds. He knew their hearts. And he immediately understood what was going on. Now, what's amazing here, in the broadest sense, what's amazing, you think people listen to Yahushua? What's amazing here is that the entire halacha of Ve'yit Nikiim, Mi Hashem Umi Yisrael, is learned from the negative of Ne'ruvim. In other words, the fact that someone is in a position, as they are, of border, we call it border personality. I mean, Lamaisa, these are people that are border people. Right, and Yosef are border people. They're always the ones that are going out. This is the relationship of Yosef Bichlal, that the Shvatim are always Cheshit. This is the guy who's going to bring us to do Avodah Zarah. Baal HaChalomot Ba. Reuven, of course, is Pachas Kamayim. Always ready to react a little bit too quickly. Moshe Rabbeinu originally was Cheshit then, and the door here was Cheshit then. In both cases, as Moshe says to them, Ve'yitem Nikim Mi'ashem U'Mi'Yisrael, that becomes now a tzivoy that the Gemara learns out, that a person is chayav to be yotzi yedei habriyos. It's soon going to be nogei al halacha. Chanukah, if you have two doors to your house, you have to light a menorah by each door. The mucker for that, what do I have here? Somebody wants to think I'm not from and not bother looking at the other door. It's his problem, it's not my problem. Therefore, we learn out from B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvein, both the Katchila and here, the Yisrael hu yeda. We will make this very clear to all of Klal Yisrael. So as the Gemara puts it in the Yerushalmi, we learned this together in Shkolim, that it's written in three places, B'Torah, B'Nevim, B'Ketuvim, B'Tzino, Sh'Adam Tzrech V'Tzei Kidei Abriot. B'Torah Minayin, V'Yitam Nikiyim Elokim Yisrael. B'Nevim Minayin, V'Yisrael Hu Yeda. So it's both of those were the Matzachem V'Secha Tov Ben Elohim V'Adam, from Mishlei, Ketuvim. But the point is that B'nei Gad V'nei Ruvein represent the border conditions of Eretz Yisrael. And border conditions are always, border conditions of Yisrael itself, are always open to chashad, and therefore that chashad needs to be mivurar. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing, we'd say, was, what are you jumping the gun for? Because you need to jump the gun. That was apparently, in order to be mevarer what is going on inside, you need to make it clear what this may look like. This is what it could look like to people. So what are you going to say about that? What are you going to do about that? It's in your hands. It's not in our hands.
Was it a reaction? It was a proper reaction.
It seems, if it's consistent, and we find it both in the Torah and here, and the Gemara learns out that this is the marker of making clear that where there's a chashash, people should know what it is that you're doing, that being B'nai Gad V'nai Ruvain, then that means that B'nai Gad V'nai Ruvain stand for two things. The nature of Tznai, it's what a condition means, is defined by B'nai Gad V'nai Ruvain, and the nature of fulfillment, in the sense of no chashash. There can't be any chashash. So we go out of our way. And all three times, we throw in another 7 years. We don't go back for a visit. We're talking about making a Tznai L'Katchila to clarify what our request was for Yerushalayim V'Hayarden. At this point, we build a Mizbeach to be an aid, and we face up to you and make it clear to all of you that this is what it's all about. And what happened over here is a fantastic medrash that says that, you know, they had left home. Kids were little kids. So the six-year-olds are now big boys. Didn't recognize their own children. They're all bearded men that have created their own army, basically. They were under attack all the time by B'nai Yishmael, by others that were there. It says they all looked the same. They came back. It's also a beautiful medrash that ties so much into the clarity of what it meant to be a Ben Yisrael. They came back, and they found their homes under attack by Yishmael, being defended by a home army that was their little kids that they had left behind. They had no way of seeing the difference between them. They were all very long-haired kids, it says. They were all in the good old Seyarbi. They were all unkempt and basically in a situation of semi-avelut, of not having a family, for 14 years. Yomim shel tsar. So there they are, and they don't know who's who's. Natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'liban shel banim. So they had a sense of Ruach HaKodesh, and they started shouting, Anenu Hashem Anenu. Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov Anenu. So the parents heard, and were able to identify immediately who was who, joined the battle, and defeated them. At that time, the Milchamtam Shel B'nai Yishmael took all of their property and so on, and that was the Nechasim Rabim, but it's part of the Bracha of Yeshua. You'll be Zeichet, the Nechasim Rabim, not only what you were Zeichet. You'll see you're going to go and end up being Zeichet even more Nechasim Rabim. That Keach came in Birchato Shel Yeshua at the send-off. So again, you read to the story, you don't think of what it meant in practical terms to the people to come back after 14 years. And how literally you wouldn't know which side to take in a war. Am I attacking my children or am I attacking Yishmael? But you can't tell the difference. And again, the most powerful point of this parak is that it's really the only parak in the entire Tanakh in which the true identity of Yisrael shines so clearly. The system of values, the absolute clarity of what those values are, the willingness to fight to the death for those values. There is no way to read this parak into anything that is other than pure concern for merida, for arvus, for nikias, for avodas Hashem, for ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for daiga of the nature of it. There's simply no other way to read it. It's nothing that has any type of political, geopolitical, military. It has no other issue. It's a nation that is kulo involved heart and soul in the nature of what it means to be in Eretz Yisrael and what the future in Eretz Yisrael means. And in that sense, it is the most beautiful possible ending of the story of the coming into the Yerusha, because it shows us, in a sense, the only time that Klal Yisrael lived in love. And the way that the Tanit of Eliyahu puts it, "Bimei Yehoshua bin Nun kiblu aleim Yisrael ol malchut shamayim bi'ava." It was because of that love, "Lefichach herich HaKadosh Baruch Hu et panav lahem shalosh me'ot shana." Where everybody was doing everything wrong. And where was that? That was what Yoshua was saying. I see, and this is why he was not involved in the Taina. I see, I understand what's going on over here. And I see that this is what we've always dreamt of. That you were the ones who ended up being the ultimate Ashkana Shalom, in Berchasa Shalom, Kadosh Baruch Hu Shera, Ela Mitoch Shalom. And the Lona Far Davar Mikol that we ended up with in the end of the last parak becomes, that's Mitzara Kadosh Baruch Hu. The parak that follows is mitzad Yisroel, the Ahava, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mishmeret of the Brit, the commitment of the Brit, the acceptance of Arvus, of every last halacha in terms of Aveda, of the presence of the Shekhinah in Shiloh, of recognizing even the differences in the level of Tumah between Eretz Ha'amim, which isn't Eretz Ha'amim, in Tamei Alechem, Eretz Akuzatchem. Astounding words, astounding feelings, astounding people. And at last, there's one place where we get the sense of what it was really like. About what?
There seems to be a difference in the two examples. When the two tribes and a half say to Moshe that we're going to stay here, you get the feeling that they really didn't plan on going over and fighting, and Moshe sort of shamed them into it. He told them, you know, no, you got us wrong, you know, which was real. In this case, the two and a half tribes were Kena, they were absolutely straight, and it was the others that had the wrong idea, and that were, in a sense, given a lesson in Arachim.
Yeah, I mean, what Richie is bringing up is a fascinating mirror image of the possibilities over here, in which the chashash against the person, it can turn out to be the actual tikkun of the person, not only his vision klape Yisrael, which would account for the way that the Mizbeach seems to be in different places for different people. And remember that B'nai Ruvain particularly, the B'nai Ruvain, where they came from initially, was not only from the Pachas Kamayim, but also from the Vayatzileu Miyadam. In other words, the relationship of Ruvain to Yosef is a profound relationship that started all the way at the beginning of the fighting of the Achim against Yosef. But what it also means is that Reuven has a broader perspective of what he's willing to tolerate. And that's, again, part of being on the border conditions. He understands Yosef, and he expects to be understood. Now, the fact that when I understand someone being on a border as being capable of failure, more capable of failure, is also true. So in other words, he understood originally what the brothers were saying about Yosef, but he also understood Yosef and the potentialities of Yosef, was willing to save them against the brothers. In this case, the same thing is true. Whatever it is that we feel about Reuven, my father Zatzal pointed this out, that it must be, as Richie is saying, it must be that there is, in fact, a reason to suspect these people, because they're suspicious people. They're ready to do things that are against the norm. That was in good ways and in bad ways. I mean, the one way you have the Pachas Kamayim and the story of Bila. And the other way you have the Atzileu Miyadam, the thing which triggers tshuva, and which everybody sees as a willingness, a special bracha, Yechi Ruvein Vayamot. But that means that if I have to say that, it means that there's something that's wrong, and it's wrong back in the beginning. It's the Pachas Kamayim Al Totar. It's the loss of the Bechira because of it. And nonetheless, it has in it such marvelous things, including the Reuven itself, the word. Reu ma bein beni lebein ben chami. That Reuven protected Yosef despite the fact that he knew that Yosef has the potential of taking away everything that was meant to be his. The opposite of Esav. I mean, this is a complex individual. With that complexity means that he's a dangerous individual. So that the connection of Reuven to Yosef is understandable, very understandable. And, I mean, even the God, we have Baruch Marchiv God, means a concept of stretching. You know, stretch the envelope. He's moving around. You know, so this is certainly part of the story. I agree with you. It's not so pasha. It has in it mirror images that are searching themselves for expression, and this opportunity that is given them for expression and of being horrified, and which was not the case back in Moshe, isn't really an opposite. It's part of a process of self-expression that needs to be brought out. No matter where you yourself were, lechatchila, it really is the same process. Which is remarkable.
How is it that they're being, the B'nai Reuven and Gad are being accused of me'ila? If you're talking about Achan took the money for himself. That's me'ila b'kutcha. Why is that? So they're saying the Me'alt and Merida is to rebel. Why is this Me'ila?
So the nature of the idea of Merida, clearly of Me'ila, clearly includes more than taking. Me'ila, even though we're used to terms of kutching, means to take for yourself. The general sense of Me'ila is to betray trust. So we say today in modern Hebrew, if someone is Ma'al b'tafkido, it doesn't mean that he necessarily took money, but it means that he betrayed the trust, he abused trust. And that would mean that they are now turning their back on everything that supposedly was being invested in. They earned our trust, they earned our respect, and now they're walking off with that to do the opposite of everything that that investment was for. It deepens the sense of merida if it's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of trust, which is much worse than simply rebelling. It means that you're the opposite of what you said you were, of what you attempted to show yourself as being. You're being part of Eretz Yisrael, and at that very moment, destroying what it means to be a part of Eretz Yisrael.
How is it that they're being the Bnei Reuven and Gad are being accused of Me'ila? If you're talking about Achan, Achan took the money for himself. That's Me'ila. That's Me'ila B'Kachin. Why is that? If they're saying the Me'alta Merida is to rebel, why is this Me'ila?
So the nature of the idea of Merida clearly of Me'ila clearly includes more than taking. Me'ila, even though we're used to terms of kachin, means to take for yourself. The general sense of Me'ila is to betray trust. So we say today in modern Hebrew, if someone is ma'al b'tafkido, it doesn't mean that he necessarily took money, but it means that he betrayed the trust, he abused trust. And that would mean that they are now turning their back on everything that supposedly was being invested in. They earned our trust, they earned our respect, and now they're walking off with that to do the opposite of everything that that investment was for. It deepens the sense of merida if it's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of trust, which is much worse than simply rebelling. It means that you're the opposite of what you said you were, of what you attempted to show yourself as being. You're being part of Eretz Yisrael, and at that very moment, destroying what it means to be a part of Eretz Yisrael.